Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone. Today, we will be discussing the unsolved murder of Mercedes Vega. And this horrible thing happened in April of 2023 in my home state, Arizona. I've seen this case pop up a couple times since it's local, but after really digging into it this week, it's definitely not getting enough attention as it should.
I had never heard of it before we started researching it, and it's so fucking sad. We often talk about cases where we feel just kind of perplexed by what law enforcement efforts have been. But I think that this is certainly just another example of where you're kind of scratching your head and going, wait, what's going on? Why haven't you done more? Because there's some facts that would lead you down some paths to some suspects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the whole thing, like she said, it's heartbreaking. It's really sad what happened to Mercedes. And her story should be more known, especially here in Arizona. It did happen around ASU. So everyone around that area really should be on alert. So we really want to get that out there.
Yeah.
So we're also recording this a couple days before what would have been her 23rd birthday, which breaks my heart.
It feels especially sad because she's like starting her adult life.
Yes. The early 20s is supposed to be like fun. And yeah, you're like figuring yourself out. And we're going to talk about her in general, too. She had a lot of her stuff figured out and she was working towards goals. So just horrific.
Yes.
So our goal today is to help get the information out there so that maybe someone with details will come forward and give her family and friends some closure.
Yes. When you hear cases that aren't getting a lot of media attention, one of the side effects of that is that people who have seen something that doesn't look like a problem don't come forward with information. Mm-hmm. As always, we want to spend some time talking about Mercedes and who she was before the worst thing that ever happened to her happened. So she was born on March 10th of 2001 in Anchorage, Alaska. She loved horses and babies. People would even call her the baby whisperer because she was so nurturing.
I love that.
She played violin and she was an amazing singer. She even sang the national anthem at a few sports games. When she was in school, she was a good student. She loved the ocean and she was a great swimmer. And she used to say, "My soul belongs in Hawaii." Love that.
She has pictures of her in Hawaii and they're stunning. Like, everything about it is perfect.
Yes, yes. Her friends describe her as being a bright light and having a huge heart. And she was super close to her mom and dad. When people would describe her, they would say that she was determined. One example of this is from her father. And he said that when she was 7, she made a PowerPoint presentation as to why they should take her to Disney World. I love that.
Yes.
So fucking much. That's so cute. And then when she got older, she did the same thing for a tattoo.
She gets what she wants, right? I love it.
I mean, if your kid started making you PowerPoint presentations to convince you to do things, wouldn't that be a hard no?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You're like, you really prepared for this meeting. Like, okay, man.
Yeah. I mean, you're asking in an adult way, right? Like, that's how people get things done. It's like,
yeah,
arguing why they need it. And she did it. So
I'll forward you the deck and we can circle back on this later, like a little businessman.
Right.
But so she has an online presence that we could see. And from every post that we looked at, it seems like everyone who ever met her really loved her. There's also an account that we'll talk about a little bit later where people talk about her. And it's just such beautiful memories and like descriptions of who she was.
Yeah.
When people from her high school and others who had just run into her would comment on Instagram and Reddit threads with just so many positive interactions. So when you see her online presence, it's very clear that she was a person who was very loved.
Very much. Yes. And the interesting thing about this case, unlike some of the ones that we've covered, because, you know, a lot of them are from a while ago, This one's so new. Her online presence, just like most of us right now, there's pictures of all the things that she did recently. There's a bunch of tagged photos of her and her friends. Like,
yeah,
everything is documented of what she did. There's like a lot of kid pictures even that you could find that are so cute.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking, all of it. So her best friends, Mackenzie Lockhart and Tynisa Williams, have said that she was thriving in Tempe. And again, that's in Arizona where I am. And she was working on becoming a personal trainer. So she was very dedicated to that as well. She was only 22 when she died. And she had just celebrated her birthday by going to Hawaii with some of her friends in March of 2023. And those are the pictures that I said were like, she had like the coolest vacation. Her family and friends have set up an Instagram called Honoring Mercedes Vega. And there's also a TikTok by the same name. And like Lindsay said, it's beautiful and heartbreaking. There's so many messages and so many pictures and videos of everything she's done and everyone's feelings and like letters to her. They're also updating about what's going on in the investigation on those same sites. Her parents, Erica and Tom Pillsbury, have also done many interviews, and I can safely say that we pretty much sobbed at every single one. Like, her parents were just so loving, and my heart breaks for them.
Yeah.
Watching, especially, I don't know why, but a few of the things that her dad has said got me so much. At one point, he was like, I wasn't there the time that she needed me most.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, oh, my God, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Just thinking of that interview. But let's get down to what happened. So on the evening of April 16th, 2023, around 9 p.m., Mercedes was walking from her apartment into the parking garage where she often parked. She lived at the Aubrey Apartments in Tempe, Arizona. And where her apartments were, I've hung out most of my teen years. Like, that area is very familiar to me. The area is pretty nice, but it is very close to Mill Avenue. And Mill Avenue is where all the ASU students typically hang out and, you know, the ASU campus and all that's over there.
Which makes it even more strange that you haven't heard a ton about it.
Yes.
Because presumably they would want all of these students to be aware that a terrible thing happened to a young woman.
Exactly. Yeah. And that area is very lively at night. But same thing. It's not the greatest area at night. Like, I wouldn't want to walk around alone there. I'd be in a big group. And I told Lindsay this before we recorded. It reminds me of like the area that Brian Schaefer disappeared. High traffic, lots of college students, a lot of things going on. Concerts, nightlife, restaurants, everything. So,
yeah.
You would think because it's such a busy area, there'd be more footage of what happened, right? So her plan was to meet friends that evening. And Tynisa, her friend that we brought up earlier, said, quote, we believe she was debating between going to get sushi or going to Dave and Buster's. Her last message that a friend received was around 8:54 p.m. and she left about 9:15 p.m. And for those that don't have it, Dave and Buster's is like a big chain arcade here, and it has food and a bar and big arcade. But we don't actually think she was going there now that we've learned a little bit more. Another friend of hers that's on TikTok, and her name is Zay.Reyna, has also given some updates about the case. And Honoring Mercedes Vega has also shared her updates, so I'm like pretty sure these are correct. But she later said that after getting Mercedes' phone records, she was actually going to her job. She wasn't working, but she was going to hang out with a friend that night. So I've seen a lot of people still saying she was going to David Buster's or she was going for food, but now it's changed.
One of the things that we could see as well was surveillance footage of her walking into the parking garage from her apartment building. And it's the last time when she was seen alive. It's just a few seconds. You see her kind of walk out and like enter the parking garage, and then it cuts off, which we were talking about how strange that was, because it's clearly not the entire video. Because there should be like a part where she walks around the corner and like heads to her car. Sorry if you can hear my dog like heavy sighing. She's apparently got feelings. But it's just strange that it's such a tiny clip that's available. When talking about this, her dad said, you can see when she comes out that she does not have a care in the world and she's not paying attention to her surroundings. And he really does think that she wasn't aware that there was any danger for when she came out. And I just know how many times have you like walked out to your car because you're headed to go somewhere and you're like getting your keys or your bag or your purse or like pulling up directions and you're not fully aware of where you are because it's someplace you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I know that I've done it hundreds of times.
Yes. Yeah. And it looked like, I mean, when we were watching it, she's like walking around. You see her reach in her pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a typical thing. She's done it a million times.
Yeah. So in the video, she's dressed casually, and it looks as though she's either FaceTiming or she's doing something on her phone as she walks into the parking garage. In a post by her mother says that Mercedes had been hit over the head while she was inside the parking garage and then forced into a vehicle. And like we mentioned, the footage is just her walking into the garage. It doesn't include that, but it has been discussed that one of the things that law enforcement found inside the garage was that where her car was typically parked, first off, her car wasn't there. But what was there was blood and brain matter just right outside of where her car would have been parked. So kind of like, think if you're walking up next to your car, like right there. Mm-hmm. And it was on where the driver's side would be. And as a note, which is just, this is so heartbreaking to think. And we've talked about crime scene cleanup before in the past, but the blood and brain matter were left there until her parents cleaned it up.
Just the thought of them having to be the ones to do that is horrific.
Yes. Well, it's also because this was an apartment complex. So like, get your maintenance person to come out with like a fucking hose, right? It's a garage.
Right.
And it's part of like a facility that has employed people who are coming out to do things like that. You see what I'm saying? That's something that they could have handled and probably should have.
Yes. Yes. A public space. They should have. Yeah.
Yes. So Mercedes was found around 1 a.m. inside another vehicle that was not hers, that was on fire. So that's a lot there, right?
Yeah.
Where that car was about 10 miles west of the Tonopah exit on Interstate 10 near milepost 85, which is, it's just so fucking horrific.
Yes. Yes.
There's a lot of questions here. Whose car is she in? How did she get there? The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office was called out at about 1:15 in the morning to help the Department of Public Safety, who had been called out to address a car that was on fire. Whoever reported it just saw that a vehicle was on fire. They probably weren't digging around in the car because it's on fire. The Department of Public Safety was responding on behalf of a 911 call that came in around 12:30. So if you're thinking of the timeline so far, 9:15, she's leaving her apartment building. 12:30, someone's seeing the car that she's found in on fire. And then at about 1:15, that's when the sheriff's office arrives. So the fire department comes, puts out the car. At this point, they don't know that there is a human inside. When the flames are fully out, that's when they find her body in the back seat. And unfortunately, there wasn't anything they could do because she had already passed. It was clear then that she had been tortured and that she was still alive when the vehicle was lit on fire. Fucking horrific. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what we mean when we say that. But what her mother said when she was talking about her daughter was, "I know she died fighting." She's also said that Mercedes was burned alive and that she was not allowed to see Mercedes, and that Mercedes was zipped upside down in a body bag with a heavy blanket over top of her after they had removed her from the car, which is just so heartbreaking.
Yeah. Her mom talking about it gets me every time.
Yeah, of course.
She loved her so much. And just to know that that happened to your baby.
Yeah.
And how horrific. Like, she was tortured. Whoever did this is a fucking monster.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
So to give you a picture of where this burning car was, it was actually a little over an hour away from her apartment. So it was a drive, right? And where it is kind of just a big desert area. So to put it in perspective, it's like on the highway on the way to Southern California from here. So it's a long, boring drive to get there. And like the first place in California you would get in that direction is Blythe. But it's middle of the desert. So like them lighting the car on fire where someone would see her is very interesting. And I'm not sure why they did that.
It is strange.
Especially because it's middle of the desert, right? Like if they wanted to get rid of her, like obviously I'm glad we have closure and know what happened to her. I hate what happened to her. But they could have thrown her in the desert and it would have been a while until someone found her. So it's so weird. This is the space that she was found.
It does really feel like they made a spectacle of her death and where they put her.
Exactly. Yeah. Because a lot of truckers, especially at that time at night, are going to California or coming back from California. So like it's a busy road at all times. So according to the medical examiner's report, Mercedes was shot in the arm, hit in the head, had bleach in her throat, and eventually died of smoke inhalation and being burned alive in the car. And her cause of death listed all of that. So the burn, smoke inhalation, blunt force trauma, and ballistic injuries.
It just sounds like such a painful death.
Yes, and drawn out.
Which no one deserves that.
No. And if you think about it, she got hit in the head in that parking garage, right? So around 9:15, 9:20 maybe at the most. And then she died around, I don't know, 12:15, 12:30 at night. That's a long time to go being hurt.
Yeah.
And then having more happen to her. So where she was shot, she had the gunshot wound in her right arm. And she was shot from the front, and no bullet was recovered that we know of, at least. And the way that it hit her is like it came from the front and it exited upward and to the right. So, like, I don't know if maybe she was, like, up and they shot her while they were kind of lower. I don't know.
That's a very strange trajectory. I wonder if there was a struggle. It's like such a random angle. I'm like moving my hands around, so sorry if I hit my desk. But if you're thinking of a struggle, like people will push the gun down, like out of their face often reflexively, you might push the gun down and that's how it could go off at like an angle that was lower than it might not otherwise be.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And her mom said she knows, like she knows her daughter. Her daughter fought.
Yeah.
And the blunt force trauma included a gash on the right side of her head, a scraped bruise on the back of her right arm, and then an abrasion on the left side of her back. So again, like she fought. I hope she did. I hope she hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother in an interview added that there was not sexual assault to her genital region. However, we don't know what happened anywhere else, especially because of the bleach. The manner of death obviously is listed as homicide. And inside the car that she died in, there were gloves and bleach found in the front seat and lighter fluid in the back seat. So where she was. So remember, Lindsay said that the car she was found in was not her car. Now, her car was later found illegally parked near Culinary Dropout in Tempe. And so it wasn't left in the parking garage. And Culinary Dropout is about 5 minutes from her apartment. So it wasn't like far. We don't know who got in the car, if she was in that car, or if, you know, whoever just took her car and moved it. I don't know. But she did drive a white 2019 Dodge Charger. And her license plate was LUV333. And 333 was Mercedes' angel number. And all of her friends and family, like I've seen some of them get the tattoos. I've seen them write it on things. Their hashtag is 333. So that means Mercedes.
That's very sweet. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And probably also made her car easy to pick out.
Yes. Yes.
Too, because random license plates harder to remember than like a vanity plate. Which fucking sucks.
Yes. So it's unknown how the car got moved. And unfortunately, there's been no details released of like testing or anything about either car.
So we're going to go into a little bit more information about her life leading up to her murder, as well as details around the investigation. So according to her parents, she worked at a club as a dancer 2 nights a week. Her friend on TikTok also mentioned that Mercedes was a, quote, spicy accountant 2 days a week, which could be referring to either the work she does at the club or an internet presence where there might be a wider audience of people who she's not seeing face to face. And we bring this up because this kind of broadens the suspect pool of who may have done this to her.
Right, right.
So law enforcement and Mercedes' family are trying to figure out if her death was tied to someone she met at work and if there are any other potential victims. And I think one of the things to keep in mind is that we mentioned her case isn't getting a lot of attention. And it's hard to not jump to the possible conclusion that the reason why she isn't getting a ton of coverage is because she was involved with sex work. And we say sex work to include like
anything,
erotic dancing.
Yeah.
Or whether, you know, you're doing stuff online, like under a large umbrella. But is that why she isn't getting the coverage that she deserves? There's no good reason for her to not get coverage, but it's so heartbreaking when people like learn a fact and are like, we're no longer, we don't care.
Right. They turn their brain off and they're like, well,
yeah,
she did that. Like,
yeah.
What did she think? And I'm like, what? What the fuck?
I think the phrase is people are like, they had a high risk lifestyle.
Yeah, fuck them.
And it's like insane. Existing is a high risk lifestyle at this point.
Yes.
Especially if you're existing as a woman. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
So human life has value. It doesn't really matter what you do for work.
Yes.
It's heartbreaking to think that perhaps it's this detail about her profession that has made law enforcement or media just disregard her.
Right. And that your whole life is just your profession then?
Yeah. Yeah.
She had so much going on and she wanted to help people too, right? Like she made friends with everyone. She was close to her family. She loved animals.
Yeah. She was kind. Like,
what else do you want?
Yeah. It's not as though when you hear murder cases, most of the time they're like, oh my gosh, she was an elementary school teacher. And that's like the biggest fact about a person.
Right.
I'm saying like a career that's considered relatively wholesome. Why would it matter here?
That's good. Yeah, good point.
other than trying to figure out, like, oh, does this widen our suspect pool?
Exactly.
It shouldn't be that big of a deal. It's just, it's simply a fact about a person.
Yes, yes.
So in interviews, her mother, Erica, believes that Mercedes' death wasn't the goal of whomever abducted her, and that it may have been the price she paid for fighting back. She brought up a good point, which was, if whomever abducted her wanted her dead, they could have just easily killed her in the parking garage. But instead, she was abducted. And, like, clearly they weren't worried about wounding her and attacking her in that garage, right?
Right. Yeah.
Which, by the way, suggests to me that they know where that camera is and where it cuts off.
Maybe. Yeah. Or just that's where she parked. Like, that was her spot that she usually parked in.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I do, too. When we go to a parking garage that I'm familiar with, I park in the same place so I can find it again.
Yeah. Because otherwise, I'm going to forget. I feel like a lot of people do that. But if the goal was her death, that they wouldn't have risked not just doing it immediately. Mm-hmm. Mercedes' friends have said that in the days and weeks leading up to her death, that she hadn't shared anything to indicate that she felt like something was wrong or that she felt unsafe. And also that if she did feel unsafe in some way, she would have told them. And again, like, everything we see is that she had a beautiful network of people who cared about her. So if she felt like she was scared or unsafe for whatever reason, she could tell the people around her. The fact that her parents knew that she was working two nights as a dancer, like, she can clearly share things even with her parents.
Yeah, and they've shared that in a few interviews, that she could tell them anything, or, like, she was funny. She'd call them and, like, make some sort of silly joke and just be like, I just wanted to tell you that. Okay, bye. They have the cutest relationship, it seems.
I love that.
Yes.
So one of the things that we thought was really interesting was that the details of the car she was found in have not been shared. So what type of car, how old it was, who owned it, whether it was reported stolen or not, none of this has been shared. And fingers crossed that this means that there's a lead associated with it. And, like, that's what's happening. If there's something happening behind the scenes, and that's why it's not released.
Right.
That's an ideal situation, not just that they didn't do enough police work. Because even if the car was stolen, you can still look for fingerprints for parts of the car that aren't completely charred. You can still look at what's in the car and see if, you know, that particular array of items has been purchased by anyone nearby. So hopefully they're not skipping out on important police work just because they're assuming that she lived a high-risk lifestyle.
Yes. Well, my concern is it's almost been a year now from at least the interviews that we've seen in the last couple months. The family and the friends don't know anything new either. And like you said, like, hopefully they're just holding it in their back pocket and they're moving in on someone. But, like, a year's a long time to wait.
Do I broadly trust police? No. But I cannot think of many cases where police have shared lots of details with the family about potential suspects that later end in a conviction that seems accurate. I feel like most instances where you have, like, loose-lipped police officers, it ends up being a situation where the person doesn't seem guilty. So I don't necessarily assume, like, because the family doesn't know things, therefore no work is being done, but it does seem strange that the details of the car haven't been released, because normally something like that, I feel like, would be in the media, but just strange nonetheless. And I'm not saying that I think that it's somebody who's in her circle, but it could be. And so I understand not releasing details so long as the police are saying, we are working on this. Here's who's working on it.
Yes, that's what I want.
You need to have that. It's not that we forgot. It's not that we don't care. It's that when we find the person who did this to your daughter, and we are arresting them, we want a rock solid case. We want them to pay for what they did to your daughter.
Yes.
And for there to not be any question of how this was handled. And that's an okay reason. Not investigating is not an okay reason. But if there's silence, you don't know which one of those it is. And the more time passes, the less work can be done. Once the car that was evidence is destroyed eventually because it was on fire, they can't pull more stuff from it. It'll be gone.
Exactly. Yeah. And at least the way that I perceive how her parents are going through, like, all of these interviews and all these updates, is they feel stuck, like nothing's moving. And so if they were like, hey, the case is moving, we can't disclose anything, or at least we are working diligently in giving them that confirmation. But I don't feel like that is happening, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. What's also wild, too, is that people who are close to her have mentioned that the police have not asked them questions that they think would be like basic questions, which I feel like is really fair. And it's always really disheartening when you hear that law enforcement isn't seeming to take like basic steps of asking basic questions of her circle of people in her life. And so I hate it.
So on Reddit, again, we've said this before, we can confirm some details, but others is like, you know, what people say on Reddit, right? But there are others that have posted on there that have been either at the same apartment complex at times or are currently living at the same apartment complex. And several of them have said that they had strange run-ins in that same parking lot. Luckily, a couple of the ladies that did post are okay, and they were able to post about their experience. But very strange that like other people have had strange things happen in that same place.
It's a whole different type of heartbreak when she was a random victim.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case here.
Yeah, I don't either. But if there's multiple people who have had shady experiences in that garage.
Right. Or maybe that's where they found her and then they were like, you know, waited and got to know her through other ways. I don't know.
Yeah.
But a couple other residents that have posted said that they were there at the time that this happened, like they lived in the complex. And the complex shared an insanely vague email that they sent out to, you know, the residents after the police investigated on April 18th. So the next day, well, technically her car was found burning on the 17th. So it would have been the day after that. And it gave no details. All it said was like that police were on property and they're conducting an investigation, that the complex was cooperating with authorities and to reach out to Tempe police if they had questions or concerns. Like it did not say like, hey guys, be a little more aware or, you know, any type of safety stuff, which was kind of weird to me. And you would think that they'd at least mention it or like be more alert when you're walking around this area. Sometimes can have some things happen. I don't know. They could be vague, but like at least give everyone a heads up. And I totally understand that they don't want people to move out or feel unsafe and not want to like give the complex money, but at least like act like you care about your residents. One of your residents was just brutally murdered. And they're just like, hey guys, there's police on property.
If I get a clear email that is, hey, one of our residents was murdered, it does not appear that it happened on site.
Yes.
Law enforcement is investigating. They are on site. The garage will be unavailable on these days because the garage should have been unavailable on certain days after that. All of that information is really scary, but it's scarier when you don't get it. Like,
yes,
I would rather be told what's going on and be able to
be aware,
adjust as necessary, then have to hear it from the news and then be like, I'm sorry, this is what fucking happened. And you gave me this vague email. Like, I feel like silence would have been better than what they sent out.
Yeah. Or especially like a lot of the college kids live there, right?
Yes. Yes.
What if another woman was walking down to that same garage and there's another person waiting for her? You know, like that's sad. And I went on Google Maps. I haven't been to this particular complex, but I've been to a lot of them. Like I've had friends that went to ASU in that area. But this one, when you enter, from what I can see, at least, it looks like there's only one entry point into the complex. It is a gated community and it goes straight to the underground garage. So like it's like a straight shot in and out of that garage. But terrifying to think about that they didn't tell anyone. And one resident even said that they didn't know what happened until they stumbled upon one of Mercedes' flyers that people have put up. And that's where he was like, oh gosh.
I would be very interested to know if the other people who experienced scary things in the garage reported it to the management company. Because if there were dangerous things happening on the premises of the apartment, specifically in a garage where it's more secluded, and they decided to not adjust their security or cameras, knowing that there were problems and didn't notify their tenants, that sounds like a big problem. And perhaps a big, big problem that could cost them a lot of money from Mercedes' parents if they had prior knowledge that there was dangerous activity and illegal activity happening in that garage, and they took no steps to make their residents more safe, no steps to make sure that at the very least they could have footage of what was going on.
Yes. Yes.
Because what's the point of a security camera that doesn't help anyone?
Right. Like you can see who walks down to get their car, but you don't know what cars are going in and out, you know, like, or.
Yeah. And you don't know what's going on in the garage.
Mm-hmm. Someone breaking into cars, like as stupid as that is. Like, there's so much that can happen.
If there is a camera showing who's coming out of the building and into the garage, I would assume that there would hopefully be a camera going, showing who's coming in and out of like the garage from the world. And they should be able to look at that and say like,
yes,
who shouldn't be here?
Exactly. And just to piggyback on how I was like, oh, and like car thefts, someone's mentioned, and again, I can't confirm that this indeed happened, but they mentioned that their golf clubs were stolen around the same time in that same parking garage. So like, again, like I know when you live in an apartment complex, normally they're like, your car is your car. We're not in charge of anything that happens, but at least like make your community as safe as possible.
Well, I mean, and what was she hit over the head with?
I thought of that too, but no details have been released, but who could know?
But I mean, the idea that it could be a potential murder weapon that was stolen from a person.
Yes. Yes. And her family and friends, like we've said, are doing everything in their power to help get the word out there. They've had several meetups in the last few months. They've had a balloon release to honor her. They've had meetups to pass out flyers and talk with people in like key areas. Think of like where her car was found, like her actual personal car was found. And so far, they haven't really been able to get additional surveillance footage that we know of. And her family and friends have not really shared anything new. They also held a press conference. And during the press conference, her father said that they kept quiet for a few months to let the justice system run its course. But now it's time to inform people what's going on and get these people caught. So they're just like, we gave you guys a chance. We're done waiting. I also, like this was kind of heartbreaking. In one interview, her parents also stated that they were a little nervous to come out to discuss the whole ordeal too, because now everyone knows who they are and that they are her parents. So like if there was a person or group that attacked her, perhaps like they might go after them next. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's sad that they're scared too at the same time as mourning on top of wondering what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
So all of her loved ones have done a lot of interviews and they said they will not give up until the person or persons responsible is found. So I even today, like already, they've already shared other videos and like just getting awareness and getting people to come to their online sources to talk about the case. Another thing we saw too that just pissed me off so much is the Honoring Mercedes Vega account shared that someone made a mock account of their Instagram, but like in the shittiest of ways. And whoever made it commented at least one terrible, awful thing. And it looks like that account luckily is already taken down.
Yeah.
But it does show that someone clearly did not like her.
It's super fucked up what they wrote.
It's fucked up. Like, fuck those people. But I'm hoping that that gets investigated. I saw a lot of people like, hey, investigate this. This is fucking weird that someone would do this. So I'm hoping that that someone like that's who hurt her. But like, I hope that gets investigated. And if maybe that's a lead, that would be really nice for that family to figure it out. And how fucking dare them too? Like what they put was just fucking awful.
It's a bizarre choice to spew this type of hatred about a murder victim whose murder is unsolved. And that's what kind of makes me go like, is that person involved in what happened to her?
Yes.
Because again, it is an unnecessary spectacle. And the things that they say, which we're not going to say them specifically because it was fucking garbage and we don't want to give them the air.
No, fuck them.
But the way that it was worded and the phrasing they used and the things they said made it very clear that they were at least wanting the person who was reading what they were saying to think that they had seen her in person. This wasn't like a, oh, I looked at pictures of her, here are some nasty things. These are like, this is what it was like to be near her. Their perceptions of her in person, not her perception online. I think that's an important thing to note. So now we're going to move on to talk about some of the theories of what happened to Mercedes. When you are considering how violent and hateful her death was, it's hard to think that it wasn't a person who she knew. Or that it was intentional, right? Like you can't accidentally pour bleach down someone's throat, can't accidentally set someone on fire. And while, like before I had mentioned, I was like, it's possible that the person didn't even know or they were just looking for a victim in that garage. That's possible. But the things that she experienced seemed so aggressive and so outrageous that seems like it's a personal attack, not just senseless violence. Mm-hmm. It does seem like there was somebody who was specifically looking to get Mercedes.
Agreed.
right? And so some people believe that that night, the people who she was going to meet up with may have either been involved or tipped off someone else because they knew exactly when she was leaving, and that whoever did it knew she was heading out somewhere and that she was alone.
I think that makes sense, right? And it seems like whoever she was meeting that night hasn't really been doing interviews or doing anything. It's been like her best friends that have.
Yes. Alternatively, it's possible that this was also kind of her routine and that like this was a time of night that she typically went out.
It could be.
Yeah. There's also theories that perhaps Mercedes saw something that she shouldn't have seen, and that perhaps the bleach was more of a message of don't talk, or a message to someone else saying that if you say something, this will happen to you next.
That's a lot.
Yeah. We mentioned that the way that her body was left was clearly a spectacle. So they clearly were trying to say something. Mm-hmm. We're clearly trying to make it so that she was seen. And that would really, I think, support the idea that they're threatening someone else through her death.
I agree that as horrific as it sounds, like, why did they make it so easy to find if they didn't want it to be found, right? So some people believe that it could have been sex trafficking. And unfortunately, there are a lot of reports almost daily here of women being followed, having something left on their vehicles to like mark them as a target, and even close run-ins almost being taken from parking lots and things like that. I probably see a video like, I don't know, once a week of someone going, oh my gosh, this happened to me. Or surveillance footage of like parking lots where people have said, look what just happened. So horrific.
We mentioned AirTags a while ago and how people were popping AirTags on people's vehicles to track them. Mm-hmm. I could very easily see a person who frequents a strip club getting the wrong impression from someone and sticking an AirTag on a car.
Yeah, easily. We actually just got some AirTags for the dogs, like to put, not to hang off their collar, but onto their collar, because the stupid puppy keeps losing everything I put on his collar. So I did not realize that they last like a year.
I had a tile that was on my keys and it died within like, I don't know, a short period of time, but was like a drop in the bucket for something. And I was like, I never replaced it. I just had like a dead tile on my keys forever until I finally took it off.
Well, the AirTag was like, your battery doesn't need to be changed for a year, sometimes over. And I had mentioned that. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. And my uncle pulled out his wallet. He's like, yeah, I have one that goes to my wallet.
Oh, smart.
And I haven't had to charge this in a year and a half already.
That's wild.
Or not charge, change the battery. Sorry.
Apple, if you want to sponsor us, we're available. But yeah, I mean, they could absolutely be, you have used something like an AirTag, or even if people had been in that parking lot several times, it could be something as like marking her car in some way.
I did see on one site too that Arizona in the past has been ranked number 4 in the US for the number of missing persons. So that's another horrible thing to think about. And of course, like, we're in a new year, so it's going to be different. But at the time that that article was published, there was 915 people missing here. And those were just people that had been put into NamUs. Of course, that number has already risen this year.
One of the things we know about NamUs is that not everything makes it into there. When Amanda and I are researching, one of my go-to places to research is looking in NamUs, and I'll go through hundreds of records to see if I can find things that match. And I very seldomly see any notes about people who are considered sex workers.
Nope.
And I don't know if that's because they wouldn't include that or because they're like, it was an overdose. It was this. It was that. No worries. Like, we aren't concerned. So like we had mentioned a moment ago, it's completely possible that the person or persons that attacked her were somebody who she connected with at work. So it could have been either an obsessed customer or somebody who had seen her at the club and was involved in sex trafficking and took her after seeing her. It's also possible that she said no to something and fought back, and that's what led to her death, just like her mother had suggested. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we learned from this was, when I thought about the bleach earlier, my initial reaction was like, that is torture for torture's sake. Not that it could have a potential purpose, but pouring bleach down someone's throat could have also been a measure to destroy DNA evidence.
Yeah, there was a report from Boston University, and it was like a cleaning SOP for research laboratories, and it was to mitigate DNA contamination. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And in one part, it was saying household bleach is effective for removal of DNA from surfaces. and use freshly prepared solution of household bleach for 30 minutes of contact time on the surface, followed by rinsing with ethanol or water. And that should destroy DNA.
Yikes. So many yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Another theory is that Mercedes' murder was tied to some organized crime. And that would, theoretically, be a reason why police might not be talking to Mercedes' parents, because they're trying to bring down not just her murderer, but also an organized crime group.
Yeah, recently in February, there was a bunch of arrests, 158 total from what the news had said, after like a 12-day operation targeting human trafficking in Scottsdale. So that's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, Scottsdale's only a few minutes away from where Tempe is.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a connection there. I don't know.
Perhaps. So what do you think happened to her?
So I've thought a lot, and I believe that there's multiple people involved and that it was a planned attack. They also would have had to know how to get into her gated community, right? And at least an idea of what she drove and where she parked. Because that complex, at least from, you know, playing around on Google Maps, it has parking in the garage, but it also has parking like around the complex too. So like they had to know where she parked. And I know like with gated communities, it is pretty easy to get in. You could just wait for the gate to open, but like that is still, it could dissuade someone too a little bit. I think, I'm hoping there were cameras.
Especially if it was random.
Yeah.
If you're thinking opportunity, the opportunity isn't as easy when there's a gate to get past.
Yes. And there's other, you know, that college town, there's so many apartment complexes and different, you know, living situations there. I would think, though, that they would have had cameras, right? And I know we kind of touched on that before, that either would have gotten the car that came in, if they were walking on foot and they took her car to leave. I don't know. But I feel like there should have been a camera to see that. And like I mentioned, it's like a straight shot from like where you go into the complex into the garage. So like it would have been easy and relatively quick to be able to get in and out, right? But my theory is, I don't know if they had another car, like a secondary car that they went in, or if they took her from her car, drove it to Culinary Dropout, and then maybe there was a transfer of some kind, or maybe someone was meeting them there. I don't know. But I do find it unusual that there is a second car. And then possibly even another car, because if you think about it, where she was found, right, in the car on fire, how did the person escape who did that to her? There had to have been another car involved there, too.
Exactly.
And the fact, like, that you brought up, that they didn't kill her immediately, and they very much made sure that everyone knew that she died that night. Another thing that I was thinking of is, that is on the way to California. Like, it's maybe about an hour, maybe a little more from Blythe. So I don't know if maybe their intention was to take her to California, and maybe she was just like, fuck no, you're not, right? And fought back so much that eventually they're just like, I can't do this anymore. And maybe that's what happened. And that would explain like the gunshot wound maybe, and how you said maybe she was fighting back. Also, another thing that could have gone wrong is they fucking hit her on the head so hard. You know, if she left matter on the ground there, like maybe she was fading. Maybe she wasn't going to make it. And especially if you go into California, maybe someone would have noticed. If that's their intention, I don't know. There's not much over there. There's quartzite, there's Blythe, all of that. And then unfortunately, like the bleach thing, I don't know if that was a message or if maybe she was assaulted and they were just trying to get any DNA evidence as quick as they could before they left her. But I do wonder what other car was involved, because now we're at three cars, right? That's a lot of fucking people. And then they would have had to leave pretty quickly because, I'm sorry, a car on fire is going to get a lot of attention. It had to have been a second, like they were ready to go. We're going to light this on fire and leave, right? So it had to be kind of strategic. I don't know how they could figure that out, but what was that getaway car? And then I'd be curious, too, to see what cars, I know it's a very busy area, but what cars went to California and crossed the border between like 1:30 and 2 a.m.? Like, is there any connection to Mercedes with any of those cars? Is that something that anyone could see or notice? I don't know. But either way, manner of death, the torture, absolutely disgusting. And whoever did this, they need to be caught.
Agreed. They clearly are bad fucking people, and Mercedes deserves justice. The questions that I'm left with that I get a little bit stuck on is that if they were not intending to murder her and they were abducting her for a purpose, I do not think they would have bludgeoned her if a gun was available. Who's to say that the person who shot her was there for the abduction, right? Like, it could be different steps.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
It could absolutely be different steps. But I would just think you would have a cleaner abduction of someone if there was a gun. Because, I mean, how many times have you seen in a movie? How many times have you heard in true crime cases that a person was forced into a vehicle with a gun? And most people are going to comply with the person who has a gun. However, what make me pause and say, who might not think a gun was enough would be a person who was similar in stature. Say it was a person who was physically like comparable to her, like another woman. Having a gun with her, there might be more of a struggle.
That's true.
Where like she is able to overpower that person or take the gun versus this person clearly surprised her.
Yeah.
And bludgeoned her when she was about to get into her car. And so I would just wonder why that was necessary. Because there are ways to subdue a person that don't leave evidence and that do not potentially kill the person immediately if that's not what you're looking for. See what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't, that doesn't really make sense to me. And it makes me wonder about, was it a more close physical match to her and the person who abducted her? And that's why.
Maybe. And we know she was really strong too, because she was going to be a personal trainer. Like, she worked out a lot. And so it would probably take multiple people.
Oh, absolutely. And the photos that we've seen of her online, it's very clear that she is like physically fit and strong. Mm-hmm. I also just want to point out, pole dancing is so fucking hard. It requires so many muscles, so much just incredible athleticism. If you have never looked up like pole dancer videos, like I'm not talking like a sexual thing. I'm talking for the pure athletic sport of it. It is amazing.
Yeah.
The control you can have.
It's impressive.
And the way that you can like lift and move your body. Extraordinary. To be able to do that well is a hard fucking thing. And so that tells me that she's a strong fucking person.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, I don't think she would have been easy to abduct, which again, makes me think that the person was comparable or less in terms of stature. And knew that they couldn't overpower her.
And the element of surprise, too. Like, she was looking down at her phone. You see her, like, walk out. She grabs her keys out of her pocket, looking down, like, if someone walked right up to her behind her. And, sorry, a busy parking garage, right? When you live in an apartment, you would think, like, multiple people could be there. And it's not unusual for groups and various people. But also, at the same time, there's no one there. I guess, like, it's a Sunday night, but still, interesting.
In apartment complexes that I've lived in, many times I was there by myself. So I don't find that altogether strange. To me, I get a little bit stuck on there was a gun in the mix. Why wasn't it part of the abduction? And so I agree with Amanda that there's definitely several people involved because the methods change too strangely, right? We've got,
yes,
a gunshot, bleach, and bludgeoning. Doesn't make logical sense to start with bludgeoning if a gun's there. I guess that's just my point. And that if it was trafficking, they would not want her to be physically damaged in some way. And when you bludgeon someone, they can fall. So like she could hurt her face.
Right.
And then I do think it was purposeful and it was her specifically. One of the reasons why I think it's purposeful is because the presence of gloves, bleach, and lighter fluid really seemed premeditated.
Yeah.
Because you can run into like nearly any little store and get bleach and lighter fluid, but I feel like you can't get gloves everywhere.
Yeah.
The wherewithal to have gloves at a crime scene speaks volumes to me. I would be very curious whether law enforcement looked at places close to her home to see if there were any purchases of those particular items, because you can look at the manufacturer and like clearly they were present enough to not be fully burned up that they knew that they were there. Mm-hmm. They could do a little bit of tracking for sure. Bleach is a common item. Lighter fluid is a common item. But gloves, bleach, lighter fluid all together at once is a kind of a strange combination.
Right. And I would be curious to know if any of those items were purchased at like the last convenience store that would have been open late on a Sunday night before you get to that long stretch of road.
Yes. I'd also be curious how full they were. Like you could see if it was somebody from somebody's home. Like was it the last set of gloves? Was it, you know, a full bottle of bleach that there was some left? And same with lighter fluid, I'm assuming that they probably used a lot of it. Was it clear that it was in an older bottle? And then just another question that I had is that like the year is 2023 during this murder. There's cameras, there's traffic cameras for both speeding and for red lights. So I would be curious as to whether there was any place along the drive from her apartment complex to Culinary Dropout where her car was found that had picked up her car. Like perhaps they ran a red light. Perhaps they were speeding, or even still, like, I don't know how that data is stored, But given that she was found within hours of her abduction, before anyone even knew she was missing, we haven't heard anything to suggest that her friends knew that something was wrong, right? Like, from what we've seen on the internet and what they've posted, no one said, oh, it was strange she didn't show up.
Yeah.
So if that's all the case, and the time period is like literally she's abducted a little bit after 9, and then by 1:15, they're arriving, the fire's getting put out, they're finding her remains. It's just a few hours. So any of the like traffic camera footage should exist still.
I would think so. And the way, like, if you're looking at a map from the Aubrey apartment complex to Culinary Dropout, they would have had to cross the Tempe Bridge to get over to that side of Mill Avenue before turning down the street and then, you know, making a couple turns to get to Culinary Dropout. But I would think a big bridge or somewhere, at least in that area where it's so populated, there's like a park over there, there's a bunch of stuff, that there'd be some sort of camera. If they took the way that Google Maps suggests, like the fastest route from the Aubrey to Culinary Dropout, it's about 5 minutes. They do pass one of the light rail stops. So I wonder if maybe that would have a camera. I mean, I would think so, in case like there was an issue.
I think that would make sense.
And train tracks. When I'm talking, if you're hearing loud noises, this is our first thunderstorm in a while. There's a thunderstorm happening, so it's very loud.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
It's come a couple times. I thought it was a plane, and I'm like, oh, it's not ending. And yeah, now I can hear the rain. But thunderstorm. Interesting.
So there's a lot of information that we know about Mercedes' murder, but we don't know details into the facts. I think that's where some of the speculation comes into play. And then when you hear law enforcement silence, even more speculation. Mm-hmm. We want justice for Mercedes. So if you're looking for a way to help, there's a couple of different ways. Firstly, her friends and family have created several ways to raise money on their Instagram to fund a reward for information. There's also a reward through Silent Witness Arizona, which is an organization that allows people to anonymously report information and receive a reward if it leads to an arrest. Mm-hmm. As of right now, the Silent Witness website says there's a reward of up to $2,000 for information. You can also print off her flyer or share a digital flyer of her on your social media. Mercedes' family also has a GoFundMe that they're using for expenses as well as for increasing the reward. They even specify that anyone with information can remain anonymous if they reach out to them as well. We'll link the GoFundMe in our show notes.
Yeah. And the family asks that if you live in this area or in Arizona in general, because we don't know what happened for a couple hours there, please check your dash cams, your Ring doorbells, business cameras, whatever you have, and see if you notice anything from April 16th all the way to the, you know, early morning hour of the 17th. Look for her car, which was a white Dodge Charger. Her plates were memorable, right? It was LUV333. And I mean, I did it. I looked up my pictures from that day. And I was like, okay, what was I doing that day? That evening, I was at home. So there wasn't anything that I saw. But I mean, you could have gotten something the night before I was out. And I took a couple pictures of Oliver, like by the street where we were eating ice cream. So
yeah, like a car could have been driving in the background.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm like, oh, all of us do this. Like if you went to a restaurant and you took a couple pictures, or if, yeah, you took a picture of your kid doing something, like look in the background from that night. Maybe there's something there. Or if you went out, had a few drinks that night, like if you were on Mill Avenue, took a picture of your friend, maybe you have her car there. Maybe we can see who was driving it. But I did it. I didn't see anything. But please take a minute. If you live in Arizona, check it out. April 16th, 2023. Look through your photos. Should be easy. If you see something interesting, contact. We'll have their contact information in our show notes. But hey, what if we could help, right?
Also, if you know someone who lives in Arizona, pass this information like, hey, this date, can you check this information? Because we want as many people as possible on this.
Yes, please. And Mercedes' mom has stated that she just really wants to get the word out there, especially because she's actually been in the area, you know, canvassing, doing flyers, all of that. And she's seen many young women walking alone. And she wants people to know that there is someone walking around this area that has the capacity to do what they did to Mercedes. Now that I know the details of this, like I was just there last weekend in that area. I mean, luckily I was with a group. I'm always with a group when I go out, especially in the evenings. But my goodness, like I told Lindsay before we started recording, I was in like near her apartment at one of the concert venues there. every weekend of my teen years. Like, I was there.
Yeah.
So close. Like, I know the area pretty well, and it's just insane that something so horrific could happen. But again, anyone being in Arizona, take a look. If you can, if you are near that area or, you know, Tonopah area, wherever, print out the flyer. We'll post that as well. And leave it up. Inform someone. If you have a loved one that goes to ASU, call them. Let them know that this happened and see if they can help get the word out too. Because the more people that know, what if, you know, one other person can be like hyper aware of their surroundings and save someone, you know?
Exactly. You know, maybe they've heard of something similar and it's not something that's been linked before or an attempt of something similar. There's so many like ifs, right? Because like say even like, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, this is a person who I saw all the time at XYZ. And I noticed this, there was some creep near. Sometimes you don't even like register those things as a thing you want to tell somebody.
And you're right. A lot of attempts, too, don't get reported because they're like, oh, that was really weird. Like that guy was really strange. And you tell a friend and then you don't think of it again. Maybe you heard something. I don't know.
It's just part of the experience of being a woman in the United States.
Right.
It's like you're like, I don't want to make a fuss. And also like you call police and they're like, what do you want me to do about it? Nothing happened to you.
Exactly.
That might not even be listed and reported. Similar things that almost happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what? We went out to downtown Phoenix with you. And how many very strange interactions do we have within an hour?
Oh, Milo. Yeah. We had like very strange interactions.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that'll jog someone's memory. Look at your pictures. Take a second. And it took like 2 minutes for me to do it on my iPhone, at least. Like you could do it for year and month very, very easily and quickly scroll. So
wrapping up, Mercedes' last journal entry said, quote, I am divinely guided and divinely protected. The entirety of my existence is all for the highest good. I am allowing the universe to handle everything for me. I recognize the divine is orchestrating all that happens, even in my most tragic moments. I am being divinely led to my higher purpose. The universe has perfect timing.
That break your heart?
It breaks my heart because it's like such a trust for the world. Her life will ultimately be good. And that's just so bittersweet, you know, to think that like she had this mentality, she had this outlook, and that this is what happened to her because she didn't deserve that. Mm-mm. In so many of the interviews with Mercedes' father, the thing he says over and over again is throughout all of these interviews is, quote, my daughter mattered. It wrecks me to think that like you could lose someone and that it would feel like that. Losing someone is bad in that way. Losing your child is worse. Losing your child and knowing that maybe other people won't care because they've made a judgment about her is unfair. And it speaks volumes to like, if you're a person who judges people on being a sex worker, just truly get fucked. I just don't understand it. How you could not care about someone on a basic level and how you could say like...
A human.
Yeah.
She's human.
And the person who did this to another human.
Yes.
And she didn't deserve that. And her family doesn't deserve
to feel like that.
To feel like people think their daughter doesn't matter. And to feel like society's just fine that this happened to her. She seemed like such a light and a kind person who had a presence and like lived her life. It's insane to think that anybody could hear about what happened to her and not be fucking outraged.
Agreed.
And not say like, what are we doing about this? And to think that there might not be a lot happening law enforcement wise, because it should have never happened to Mercedes and it should never happen again. It's so terrifying to think that if they don't act now, it's going to happen again. Because if you can do that once, then you're that type of fucking person.
Yeah. What's to stop them from doing it again?
Exactly. It's how serial killers like Samuel Little murdered dozens of women.
Yeah. And we've said it before, too, like, the family having to be the ones to be like, guys, please, please care about my daughter. We're still here and we're still wondering and we're still working on anything we can. But can you please put us in the media again and maybe, you know, tell people? And it takes them. No one else is.
Yeah.
They're putting together all of this. No one else is. And my heart breaks for them. And yeah, we want to help in any way that we can.
Absolutely. I so thoroughly hope that more information is found out and that Mercedes' family can have more closure, can have some peace, and that there's justice for her.
Agreed. Agreed. So these cases are always very tough for us to discuss. I think we cried a couple times just even doing this and having to take a minute. But hopefully we can help get the word out there. And even if it can save one other person or get some sort of lead, like amazing, right? If you do have a case that you would like us to cover and research, please reach out. We would love to help whoever we can.
Absolutely. We mentioned it in some of our other cases, but as a rule of thumb, we don't reach out to family members because we don't want to re-traumatize anybody. And often a lot of the information is out there in ways that we can find, so they don't need to do the emotional labor of getting us up to speed. But should you have a person who you love or care about that has gone missing, you can reach out to us.
Yes.
So don't think that it's a two-way blocking. It's more of a respect thing on our side that we don't want to re-traumatize anybody. We have had people in the past who've come and asked us to share cases. And so definitely we will do that. But I just want to make sure that we mention that.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Good point. And if they have an extra thing that they'd like us to get out there, we're happy to share it.
After we released our episode, Mercedes' parents, Erica and Tom, reached out to us. One of the things that they let us know is that Mercedes' hands were likely placed in bags by crime scene investigators. Additionally, they let us know that there were two entrances to the parking garage where Mercedes lived.
I'm so heartbroken for them. They're extremely kind, and it's so clear how much they love Mercedes and how amazing they were to her and how they really are trying to get justice for their child. And they're just so sweet and so kind.
Yes, yes. They are. And one thing we'll add is that they are gathering people on April 17th, so 1 year after Mercedes was killed, in Tempe for a silent protest. So if you are in that area, check out Honoring Mercedes Vega online so that you can get the details.
And with that, have a good weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening, and as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh. Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and/or ghosts.
I beg of you.